Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to an exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you had a great week. Today is a Friday edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, and alongside is producer extraordinaire, Alex Gossett-Shiflett. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's fun Friday.
It is. You were out last night at a Sandy Springs Chamber event, weren't you?
Yes, Young Professional Mixer, and it was amazing. There were over 300 people there.
Wow.
Yeah, and they had a booth set up for bourbon, one for tequila, one for hard cider.
Young professionals getting down over there. You said it was at the Gathering Spot?
Was it the Gathering Spot?
Yeah, that's a nice place,
isn't
it?
It's a very nice place.
It certainly is. And we look forward to the next time, and those will be published later. And you can see all the interviews that Alex did with folks out on site there, published later at AtlantaBusinessRadio.com. Also, make sure you are connected with us on Twitter, at Atlanta Biz Radio, Atlanta B-I-Z Radio. And you can check out the network as well, Business Radio X, at Business Radio X. All right, and let's introduce today's guests. First, let's say hello to Tamika Morrison and Tramel Smith. They are with Camp Kyle's Ward. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, how are you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about Camp Kyle's World. Tamika, we'll start with you.
Well, yes, Camp Kyle's World is a nonprofit organization. I'm sorry. It's the fourth annual 5K for Kyle's World, which is a nonprofit organization. It was launched in memory of Tamika Foster Raymond, son Kyle Glover, who passed away tragically in a water sport accident about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so in honor of her son's memory, she launched Kyle's World. So it's a camp for kids who are interested in arts, music, performing arts, and it starts June 20th through July 8th.
Kyle's World Foundation, they're located right here in Atlanta. You can find more information at kylesworld.org, or you can email them directly, info@kylesworld.org. And it's just a great way for kids to get exposed to different arts, different types of activities that may be outside of their regular lives. Is that right?
Right. So if it's a child that's interested in performing arts, whether they're artistic, very creative children, this is the camp for them, for them to explore all of those things. There's even a performance at the end of the camp where children actually sing and act and dance for their parents. So it's very, very fun camp.
Yeah, creative writing, fine arts, dancing, theater, like you said. What got you involved personally in Camp Kyle's World?
Well, I was asked to come on board and help to get the word out with Tamika. I own a PR agency.
Oh, good.
And so when I heard about the accident years ago, I was already familiar with her story, but I just wanted to help as much as I could because I think it's a great way to honor her son. And it's a fun way for everybody to get together and get involved, especially with the 5K coming up. If you're interested in, if you're a runner, if you're interested in running or participating in the 5Ks, it's a great activity and it's a fundraiser for the camp.
So kids can do it. Adults can do it.
Yes.
You can do it as a family, as a group, or as an individual, get involved at the 5K coming up this weekend out at Chastain Park, right?
This weekend at Chastain Park. Registration is at 8 a.m. and the run starts at 9 a.m. And Tramel Smith, he's a fitness expert, and he's on board. He's bringing a team of people and he's gotten involved in it. So he's going to be helping us with making sure our techniques are on point for the 5K and
you're making running
sure
with proper form,
exactly, and we're safe and, you know, got those safety tips in check.
So let's ask Tramel about that. How did you first come to be aware of Camp Kyle's World and then want to get involved yourself?
Personally, I'm a personal trainer and I double as a track and field coach. So I was involved once I saw that it was a 5K. I thought it was a good opportunity to get some of my high school athletes involved and some extra running over the summer so they would spend less time on the couch. I found Kyle's World through Tamika, and it was something I wanted to get involved in and use my expertise, you know, not only as a runner, but also a fitness person to really get people out and more so my students and just bring more awareness to what happened with Kyle and more awareness for summer education, for safety for kids and things of that nature.
Very good. And so your background is in personal training. Where do you usually teach people?
I train out of two locations, CrossFit North Atlanta and Pinnacle Fitness. I also have an online business, Total Nutrition and Training, where I write articles and post videos and do a lot of online meal planning and personal workouts for clients that aren't able to do one-on-one training sessions.
So it sounds like you're a one-stop shop for someone who needs to get fit and get healthy.
I try to be that. I'm always trying to learn and try to instill as much knowledge that I have onto my clients and just share.
Yeah.
Definitely trying to share as much health and fitness knowledge as possible to make people more healthy.
Yeah. And we know that the America has an obesity problem and a healthiness problem, but there's a million ways to get fit, to get healthy. Making that first transition and that first step is often the hardest part for someone. From your perspective, what is some good advice you could give to someone to kind of change their lifestyle around and get started on a healthier track?
The biggest thing is to take it one day at a time. I always tell my clients, you can't lose 60 pounds in one day. So don't try to lose 60 pounds in one day. Another thing is to journal. So you always want to track your progress so you know where you started and you won't get discouraged on the journey. You really got to realize that it's a fitness journey. It doesn't happen overnight. And it is definitely something that you want to continue on a daily basis and always make strides and be better than yourself was yesterday.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle. It's not necessarily a quick fix, 30-day problem. You know, hey, get fit for the beach this summer and then go back to eating cheeseburgers and laying on the couch.
Right. The biggest thing is to instill those lifestyle changes. It has to be something that is habit and good habits are formed and makes it a sustainable change.
Right. And that kind of plays back into Camp Kyle. Word. It's a lifestyle change. You're hoping to empower these kids with art and theater and creative writing and all of that. You're giving them the opportunity to learn and explore that facet of their life and development.
Right. We definitely want the kids to learn and see what they're good at, because you know you might not know what you're good at until you actually step out there and try dancing or painting or singing. We're just giving an opportunity for the kids to try their hands at new things and maybe pick up a new niche.
Yeah, being creative is really empowering. It teaches you to kind of look within, kind of be self-motivated, self-taught. No matter what your medium may be, being creative certainly helps blossom a child's personality.
Absolutely, yes.
And that's what. And how many kids attend this camp? How many total attendees?
I think in the past we've had over 100 to 200 students. It's growing every year. Not sure yet how much we're expecting this year, but around the same number. And we do have professionals that actually teach the class. So the 5K helps to support paying professionals to come in, supplies, activities, and snacks, things of that nature for the camp to run smoothly.
And what do you need more for the camp? You need to get more awareness so you can get more children, or you need more volunteers? What are some things needed over there?
We mainly need a lot of funding.
Okay.
It definitely takes money to run the camp, especially effectively, and to ensure that the professional quality is there. We have lots of volunteers, and we're really thankful for our volunteers, but I would say the biggest need is the financial.
Right. So creating more awareness so you can in turn get more funding for the camp. It begins June 20th, runs through July 8th. It's a daily class for 3 weeks there at the Galloway School over at Chastain Park. Cost is $595 to get signed up. That's per child. And you can probably sign up multiple children if you wanted to.
Absolutely. We also have scholarships available. So the run also supports that, scholarships for children who may not be able to afford the financial commitment. But we want to make sure we make arts education available for any child that is creative and want to partake in this.
Yeah, no doubt.
And Tamika, what are the times for the camp?
The camp, actually, I think camp starts at 8 a.m. and it's a full day camp for 3 weeks. So parents can...
Do the kids bring their lunch or do you serve lunch?
We serve lunch. It's a full service camp. So we will serve lunch, and that's all included in the cost of the camp.
Excellent.
Yes. And maybe you could add to the camp a radio show, because that's creative, right? You got acting, dancing, singing.
Like,
teach the kids how to podcast or do an interview. That'd be great.
I think we should add that.
And Alex can go out there and teach it. She's an expert. Yeah.
I would love to come out one day and just do a little remote with you guys and get the kids on the radio. That would be fun.
I love it.
I would enjoy it.
Let's do it.
Live, laugh, learn. All there at Camp Kyle's World. And for sure. And so you got the race coming up this Saturday.
Yes.
People can get signed up now.
Yes.
Go to the website, kylesworld.org, for more information. After the event and then after the camp, do you guys start working on next year already?
Right. We're always in planning phase. There's always new activities, new programs, new partnerships. So we're always in planning phase.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so any other events coming up or activities, you know, throughout the year, so we don't have to wait till next year?
I know right now it's just the summer camp, okay. but we do have plans to expand that and make it more year-round.
Yes.
It probably will be, you know, a summer camp, then maybe a program in the fall and then spring. So maybe we're trying to get to 4 events per year.
Yeah, as Atlanta grows and becomes more of an entertainment hub itself, there's mm-hmm. going to be more and more need for kids themselves to get involved and to learn to develop this side of their talent so they can stay yes. right here in Atlanta and go on to be directors or writers or yes. producers or perhaps even big-time movie stars as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Atlanta is ripe for that type of experience, and we want to make sure we're grooming our children for it.
That's right. And get your thoughts, Tramiel, about Atlanta. Are you from the area?
I'm actually a transplant.
Okay.
I'm a bit of a Navy brat. So I moved here from Virginia Beach by way of Illinois, and I can keep going from every other place that I live. But I'm definitely a transplant, and I love the scene of Atlanta. I like how it's a small town mixed with big city feel. So mm-hmm. it definitely gives you a little bit of both worlds.
Well, I'd love to ask you, since you had heard about Atlanta before coming here, and what did you think prior to coming? And then now that you've been here, are there some differences or some things that you weren't aware of about our city from hearing about it first, then actually living here?
The thing that attracted me to Atlanta was the knowing that it was growing into the city that it is, especially with the Hollywood aspect that it has, Hollywood South, if you will. Mm-hmm. Being a personal trainer, there's always clientele and actors and actresses that want to get in shape for XYZ scene. So, you know, where I was at the time, I was dealing with mostly Navy wives. So I wanted to kind of expand. I had reached my ceiling and I wanted to come here and try it. Get my hands dirty with a different type of clientele, and it's been very well for me.
And so you're located right there. You said you do some work out of CrossFit North Atlanta and in town. Is that mainly where your customers or your clients come from, is in town?
Yes, I do a lot of in town clients, and then usually I'll have clients for 3-4 weeks at a time if they're from working on a television show or a movie set or something like that. So
yes, that's very good. So if you want information about Tramiel and his services, how can people find you?
You can find me on my website. It's www.totalnutritionandtraining.com. You can find me on Twitter at Tramiel Smith and on Instagram at Darkskint Clark Kent.
Darkskint Clark Kent.
Yes.
That's a great name.
Yeah, he's got a Superman shirt on too. A Jacksonville Jaguars, it looks like. But nonetheless, he's got the Superman. And he's in great shape, Alex, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, he is in great shape.
Yeah, so if you need personal training, he's the guy to call because he'll get you looking like he does. So thank you so much, Tramiel, for joining us. And have fun at the race coming up this weekend. Hopefully you can get all those kids out there setting some PRs for themselves on their 5K. And please come back and be a guest anytime.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. And Tamika, for you, if people want to get more in touch with you about the camp or learn more, how could they do so?
They can do so by following at Kyle's World on Twitter, Kyle's World Foundation on Instagram. And they can also go to the website at www.kylesworld.org. And Kyle is spelled KileSworld.org.
Yes. Yeah, good. For clarification there, we'll have the web or their links posted up on our website, AtlantaBusinessRadio.com, later today, so you can download and link up with them and get involved and get out there and run. Or if you know some child who would like to join camp this summer but doesn't know where to go and they're very creative, the camp would be a great fit for them. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Please stick around as we also introduce here to the program two gentlemen from Grubly Farms, Patrick and Sean. How you doing, guys?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Welcome to the show here. Grubly Farms. This is kind of y'all's brainchild, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Tell our listeners what you do over there.
So we recycle food waste by collecting it from various organizations, and we actually feed it to a species of insect larva. As the larva eat through the food waste, they convert it into a quality fertilizer that we can package and sell, and then we process the larva into fats and proteins for livestock animals.
Very interesting. You don't look like a farmer yourself. You got more of an engineering background, I imagine.
Yes, we both graduated from Tech, and neither of us really had any experience on a farm getting into this.
But now, here you are, cultivating these special larvae to feed to chickens, right?
That is correct.
Yep. And it's going pretty well, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Right. And are you doing this on a large scale, selling it to large chicken producer, your broilers, as they call them in the industry?
Yeah. Well, so we actually just got into a new warehouse location, so we're expanding production right now. However, our end goal is to be producing these proteins at a commercial scale for both chicken and aquaculture, which is commercial farming of fish.
Yeah. So commercial farming of like tilapia, correct, catfish, and yep, some of these more fish farms that they have. So the larvae will, just chickens and fish, I guess, is really good for.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And it's good. What are some of the nutrients behind all this? What really makes it a good, sustainable food source for a chicken?
So it's high in protein, first and foremost, but also it's just a natural food ingredient. Right now, the staple protein in the industry is soy meal. However, in, I guess, the natural environment, although I don't know if there's such thing as a wild chicken anymore, but they would never eat soybeans.
Right.
However, a chicken normally pecks at the ground. They eat worms, insects, and what have you. So the logic goes that the insects are a healthier source of protein for chickens, and the same goes for fish.
Interesting. And so you've actually seen some life cycles of chickens who are fed these larvae from the day they were born to the end of their life, and you have a healthier, more natural chicken? Or what are some of the benefits from all this?
So we're actually still conducting trials right now. We've been in talks with the FDA and USDA as far as approval, because the insect industry is a new emerging industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. And we're actually going to be starting digestibility studies with fish in the near future.
And this all starts from food waste. Where do you collect this food waste from?
So right now we collect it from Arden's Garden.
Yep. So you know you're getting natural organic food, right?
Yep.
You're not getting processed food that then you're turning into larvae, which then, so you're getting good quality waste.
Right. So right now we're working with them and collecting a portion of the fruits and vegetables that they blend and press to extract the juice from and feed that to larvae. As we go on and expand, we'll be targeting either larger bakeries or other food manufacturers that produce like either juices or like fruit cups or like processed tomatoes or things like that. Mm-hmm. And pretty much fruits, veggies, and bakery waste are the food sources that we're looking at.
You have to know where the food is coming from. You can't just go and say, we're going to collect all the leftover food from casinos in Las Vegas, because then you don't know what you're getting, right?
Well, there's actually a pig farmer in Vegas that does that exact thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's right. He feeds it to the pigs.
Yep.
Right. And I don't know if you've been out to one of those Vegas buffets before, but they can be a mile long and a mile high with food and of all kinds of food as well. So we're talking with Patrick and Sean with Grubly Farm, started right here in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Are you guys making any money at this yet? Or are you still kind of in the startup phase?
Well, we're definitely still in the startup phase, but we are starting to make money.
Yeah, I have a question for Patrick and Sean. Now, how did you get into this? Like, where do you just wake up one morning and say, this is the business I want to start?
Actually, kind of.
Tell us how it came about.
So the idea kind of started off as a joke, honestly. I wanted to create a burger patty out of processed insect meal.
And because you just wanted to do that?
Well, it sounds like an odd idea, but in Southeast Asia and regions of Africa where insects are a stable part of the diet, trying to think of there's no processed insect meat. And I know that sounds interesting, but if you were able to create a burger patty, it would almost be the westernized version of what they're used to eating over there.
Right.
And that really just led into multiple research articles that we kind of discovered that Europe and Africa was really pushing for the large-scale cultivation of insects. And we kind of noticed a hole in the U.S. and due to stigma, really. So we actually started by breeding flies in our laundry room of our apartment in our last semester at Georgia Tech.
Okay. And that went really well, I guess.
Yeah.
For the most part, we were doing it on purpose. So that's a joke we always throw out there. But from there, we moved into a greenhouse. We partnered with Kennesaw State University to set up a pilot facility. And just recently, we were able to move into a new warehouse location to begin expanding production.
So did your landlord know that you were doing that?
Absolutely not.
No. No.
Did they ever find out?
No.
No. No. We won't tell them.
Yeah, no.
And how did you come up with the name, Grubly?
It made sense. We're
like
farming
grubs. So you just made it cute, grubbly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I've seen them, the little larva wormy things, and they are not cute.
You don't think so?
Oh, no. Oh. I don't think so. But do you ever feel sorry for them? No.
No, they have the best lives.
Okay. They get their bread to be eaten.
That's right.
Okay.
We do have those who care for the insects and want to protect the rights of the insects. We want to make sure they're well cared for and they're living healthy lives. But in this warehouse that you've recently began to expand in, so you're using this as a place to house the food, collect all the recycled waste, grow the larvae, package the larvae, and then ship them out to the chicken farmers.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how it goes.
So actually right now our customers are backyard chicken owners, so people who own them as pets. And when we started researching that market, we found out that they buy chicken treats, and typically these are dehydrated mealworms. And we learned from just, I guess, reading about the market that most of those mealworms are actually imported from China. And that was causing some concern to that customer market. So we entered the market as the U.S. sustainably grown insect chicken treat. And so that's where we're starting. And then as we expand our production, then we'll be targeting actual large-scale farms.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you're a guy or a girl out there who likes to have backyard chickens, more than likely you are really in touch with the natural food order of things, and you're in touch with organic principles and farming practices. So you would want to then seek out a Grubly Farms and get a more natural meal for your chicken as opposed to import from China, which when we don't know where it's coming from.
Right.
So that's an expanding market. People want their own chickens, you know, lay their own eggs, cultivate their own meat. And so they need to feed these chickens.
And, oh, yeah.
And haven't you seen that? At least I have. A lot of people are having chickens now and making or, you know, having their own eggs. A lot of my friends do it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just healthier.
It's a exploding market. My parents had some for 2 or 3 years.
Yes. And so we encourage you to get out there and get some chickens, ladies and gentlemen, and then call Grubly Farms to feed your chickens because those chickens need to live a healthy and natural lifestyle before you put them in the cooking pot. And you're looking to scale this business. You want to grow into, like you said, into commercial. What are some things you need along the way? Do you need more funding? You're looking for partners in industry? What are some things you need?
We will be looking for additional funding by the end of this year, but right now our main focus is partners in the industry, mainly looking at the feedstock for the larva. Our goal at the commercial scale would be running a facility that would recycle about 100 tons of food waste a day, which is a large number. However, the U.S. landfills about 34 million tons of food waste a year, and only about 3% of that is currently recycled via generally composting, sometimes
biodigesters.
Yeah.
So then you would have to look to other restaurants and facilities that are aligned with your practices and principles to get the waste from as well. So you have to expand out into the market.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then this could really take place in every city across the country. That's not just an Atlanta thing. This could happen particularly in those chicken, heavily populated chicken areas.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically you follow the processing facilities and you could put a Grubly facility right next to it.
Yeah, and the Georgia is known for its chicken producing farms for sure, as they call them broilers in the industry.
Yeah.
We've featured a few processors here on the show before. And so you guys are both from Atlanta, or did you guys come here to go to school?
I'm born and raised in Georgia, up in Norcross.
Yep.
And I've been here for 18 years, so I'm pretty much into
kind of, yeah. So this is a great place to have a startup, to have an agricultural startup, to have help and guidance in your latest or newest business adventure, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. It's a great place to start a business.
Are there any resources you've been leaning on along the way to help with, you know, business ideas or growing the business?
Working with a bunch of local schools. So we went through an accelerator program at Georgia Tech. We're now a part of ATDC.
Right.
We partnered with Kennesaw State to open our pilot facility on one of their farms. We've worked with UGA to do some nutritional analysis on the larva, and we'll be continuing to work with them to do feed studies on chickens. So all the universities around here have been extremely helpful and supportive.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Atlanta's a great place to grow your business and develop a business as well. There's so many resources out there, not only through the educational institutions, but from past successful business launches from CEOs for mentorship or guidance as well. So certainly wish you guys much success as Grubly Farms begins to grow. So they're looking for more larvae. They're looking for more money. They're looking for more food waste and looking for more good things. What do you like to do in your off time when you're not worried about the larvae?
So I play a good amount of video games.
Okay. A gamer, right?
Yeah.
Atlanta's a great place for that as well.
It is.
Yeah. So got any favorite games?
I recently started playing a game called Overwatch that just came out.
That's one you play, Alex,
Blizzard.
Isn't it?
No. We don't play video games.
I'm sorry. Oh, that's your son.
That's
sorry.
My son, yeah, right. Whitman.
Okay. Well, good. And what about you? What do you like to do?
I like video games as well, but I'm also a pretty big fisherman. I like hiking outdoors and general outdoor activities.
Yeah, lots of good fishing here. You can use the larvae for bait, right?
Actually, that is one thing we're looking into.
Yeah.
As a just random experiment, we soaked some of the larvae in water and vodka for 24 hours just to see if they would survive. And 95% of them survived both cases, which is pretty astonishing.
What did the vodka have to do with it all?
Just curious, really.
Get them drunk before you kill them?
You'd think that it would. We've actually shipped them across the country in vacuum packing them, and they've survived with zero oxygen in there for 5 days.
Wow. How is that possible?
They are one of the most resilient little animals ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but why the vodka, though?
I just read a study that a guy said he tried it, and I honestly didn't really believe that they would survive for 24 hours, so I said, why not?
He's a bit of a scientist, yeah. Alex. But he likes to experiment.
That's good. That's a good thing. But at least they died happy.
Yeah, sure. And no, certainly. And I know they sell mealworms in the bait shops, and they sell other kinds of worms. You could have these in a container and sell them to the fishermen and at our local area lakes.
Yeah, that's a market that we're going to look into.
Yeah, and I'm a fisherman myself, and live bait often makes the difference between that and artificial lures, if you want to catch the big one at least. So very good. Tell our listeners how they can find more information about Grubly Farms and get involved.
Oh, well, they can find us at www.grublyfarms.com or they can email us at info@grublyfarms.com.
And they're also on Facebook, Grubly Farms, and you can find them on Twitter, Grubly Farms. And we'll have those links posted up later today on our website, AtlantaBusinessRadio.com. All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. And thank you also again to Tamika Morrison and Tramell Smith from Camp Kyle's World. That begins June 20th. If you want to get involved now, go to kylesworld.org. And thank you, Alex, for producing another great show and another great week. Look forward to coming back on Monday, 10 a.m. So listeners, stay tuned. And thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.